Hello, and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoons, the weekly podcast that revisits, reviews, and ridicules some of the world's weirdest animated series. Coming to you today from the Palace of Power, I'll be your host, Dave Trumbore. Joining us from... Oh, you hear that? You hear that giggle in the background, kids?
Yeah.
That's Sean Paul Ellis coming direct from Congo Land. How's it going, Sean?
Oh, no. David, I'm doing well.
Oh, I'm glad you snuck your intro in there. Well done.
Try to every time.
And coming directly from Mount Icarus, we have the one and only Maticus Baronicus. How's it going, man?
Oh, why'd you... I was really hoping for Metroid, but...
No, wasn't gonna...
Mother Brain!
Wanna be Mother Brain!
Yeah, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's that... it's gonna be that kind of episode, folks. we are gonna be talking about Sean's pick this week, and, well, we'll find out where everybody stands on this one.
Oh, you make it sound like I'm the villain here, and...
No, we've all had some terrible picks. I think Matt's actually doing the best.
I am.
He is.
And he confirms it. Yeah, he's doing the best. I have, Cops and Mighty Max on my resume, which I still enjoyed, you guys hate, so we'll see where we land on this one. Of course, we're talking...
Not Cops.
Captain N, the Game Master. The Game Master. I wasn't, super familiar with this one. Once I started watching it, it became very apparent that I was familiar with everything they were referencing, but not the actual show itself. So... we will talk about that and give you guys a little bit of history if you're not familiar with it, and also talk about the show synopsis, what it was about. Sean, since this was your pick this week, I'll give you your choice. Do you want to talk a little bit about the history? Because it's kind of interesting.
Let's jump right into the history.
Yeah, okay, go for it.
So this series is interesting. It was an American and Canadian joint venture. It ended up going 34 episodes.
Man, if this thing went 34 seasons, amazing. First of all, it would be the future. But either way, that'd be great.
Oh my God, let me just hit the power pad on my belt buckle.
Yeah, hit the pause button, collect yourself.
Go back,
good to go.
Go back in time.
All right,
hey guys, deep breath. Sorry, I'm a little bit excited.
No, I can tell. It's good. I like it. So 34 episodes.
34 episodes.
Right.
It ran from 89 to 91. And it was a part of NBC's Saturday morning cartoon lineup.
Very fitting.
So the great thing is that, again, this is our friends at Deke Entertainment. And they grabbed and they pulled in a whole mess of different franchises from popular video game, specifically Nintendo video games, at that time. This also spawned a series of comic books, which are phenomenal. And I'd say they're phenomenal because I don't know that anybody's actually ever read them. I own four of the five.
Sean is currently fondling
I'm
variety of these right now.
We speak right now. It was a recent discovery where my dad brought me a small box of a bunch of things that he had found and these comic books. In fact, a lot of the Super Mario and Game Boy and Legend of Zelda comic books and these Captain N comic books were in that little box.
Now, I got to ask, did that come before your decision to make this show the suggestion for this week, or was it the other way around?
This came, I think my dad brought this maybe a year ago, been in the basement,
okay.
And I'd taken account of everything that was inside of it.
Yeah.
And just didn't really register in my brain that all of these things may still be down there. And so... right before we started the podcast, I ran down into the basement.
Nice.
Just had a light bulb went off above my head, and I was just I am so excited about this. So, we'll talk. There are some subtle changes, and there's some fun things to note about product licensing.
this will be an hour long exercise in product licensing.
Oh my God, this is what is product placement
standards?
And so it's just, there's so much interesting stuff just about. The changes that they made in the comic book versus the cartoon.
Yeah,
well,
and even just the show itself.
Changes
yeah.
that they made within the show,
right.
Specifically during the third season, which was the final season for this show, which are just very, very interesting to note. So we'll kind of jump into that, as well as also, they cut the episodes in half because they
yeah,
began pairing them with other cartoons.
And yeah, so it was a morning block of cartoons that ran for an hour, so some were 10 or 15 minutes long, other ones were half an hour. But yeah, they really cut this one down. And I think the third season only had seven episodes in it, and then that was it.
Yeah,
so.
I believe that was correct.
So,
anybody may have remembered the magazine Nintendo Power.
Mm-hmm.
I am admittedly I was a giant Nintendo fanboy when I was a kid. Like, I feel like there were times that people were just like, oh man, Sega Genesis, you know, is better. And I was like, get out of my house.
Yep.
Just get out of my house.
Never allowed back.
I can't talk to you anymore. I played a lot of Nintendo, and I'll say as a personal aside, a couple years ago, I found a yearbook in my mom's basement.
Okay.
And I read some of the notes that people had written.
Oh, that's precious.
In the cover. And I cringed. Like, I like full body shuddered, because there was one year, it must have been like 89, 90, where people wrote comments and they were like, hey, have a great summer. Let us know when you decide to stop playing video games and come outside and hang out.
Oh, man.
Somebody wrote in there. I'll have to find it and take a photo of it because I love it. Somebody actually said, please let me know how much you plan on spending on video games this summer. And I was just like, oh, man. Like, it was things that I guess, like, as a kid just, like, didn't register.
Well, hey, it's a good thing you left those childish things like video games and cartoons behind, right?
Not at all.
Considering we have a weekly podcast devoted to both of those things.
Not to mention, I spent 6 hours yesterday playing Batman Arkham Origins.
Sweet.
So, and I've devoted the entire last month to beating all three of the Uncharted games for PlayStation.
See, 3, Sean, so. Sean is a great friend to have, too, because once he beats a game, he'll just let you borrow it, because what's he going to do with it? So I currently have...
What am I going to do with it?
Yeah, so I got Red Dead Redemption, and I just started The Last of Us, too, so... so it works out for me. You're kind of like my own personal game fly. That's much cheaper.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Hey, and we can talk all the video games that we want because...
Well, we're going to on this show.
Subject is related, so... but just to note something very specific is that Captain N first appeared originally in an issue of Nintendo Power Magazine.
Right.
And he was created by a staff member named Randy Studdard. Captain N, who was originally... known as Captain Nintendo,
right.
He was a what was it?
He was an employee that actually worked at Nintendo.
Yeah, he was in
his character,
right?
Was, yeah.
And Mother Brain, albeit she is the villain, the main villain in the original Metroid game, she was depicted as like the Nintendo main supercomputer that went crazy, and so all of this kind of culminated because Nintendo, in the late 80s, early 90s, now let's be honest first and foremost, Nintendo has done a really poor job licensing out a lot of their IP.
Yeah, they've kept everything
a lot of their
pretty
in-house.
Property.
No. I mean, like, let's talk about, like, you know, they licensed out, like, the Super Mario Brothers movie, the one with John Leguizamo.
Oh, you mean the quality of the things they did choose to license out. I gotcha.
So there are a lot of things that, like, came out historically for Nintendo that were representations of the franchises that they had that were terrible.
Yeah, pretty bad.
And so Nintendo was looking, at a way to be able to further dominate and capitalize because, I mean, at that point, it was just Nintendo and Sega just kind of, like, you know...
That was pretty much it. As far as the console, that was like the first console wars. Well, maybe not the first if you want to go back to Atari and some of the Mattel things that came out, but like probably the biggest set of console wars until you come to the modern age here. Yeah.
Correct. And so, it was very interesting to see that Nintendo wanted to further kind of capitalize on this by doing a cartoon. And they included none of the original stuff that was in Power.
Exactly.
And this prevented the original guy this. I feel bad for Randy Studdard, for him getting any credit,
nothing.
Any compensation.
Now, granted, this was from Wikipedia, too, so I don't know 100% what their sources were, but not too far of a stretch to imagine Nintendo is probably not going to be like, we're going to make this big project and
a lot of it makes sense, though, because, I mean, as we'll talk about in the third season, they made some budgetary constraints and cuts in order to not have to pay third-party publishers for the use of some of their works.
Right.
And so,
and then Deke really deked this one up too, because none of that original like concept remains. And it's just kind of like this weird hodgepodge of just craziness, which we'll get into. But,
I love it.
Yeah.
Anything
else from history on your end? Any voice work or anything you want to talk about?
No, not really.
Fair enough. No, not really.
That's about it.
We always mention Frank Welker on here. I won't tell you which character he voiced yet. It surprised me when I read it, and I thought it was just kind of
Oh, my God, yeah.
That was pretty cool.
So It just as like a as a, an aside, like, yeah. he's not a character. He comes in the second season.
Yeah, it was really bizarre. So we'll definitely talk about that, the most obvious form of product placement known to man. But Matt, were you a fan of either the comics, the Nintendo Power Story, this cartoon at all growing up? Do you remember watching this? Because I personally don't.
I don't remember watching it. The only thing I do remember, though, is Mother Brain.
You do remember that, okay.
Like, yeah, I, like, just vividly remember, like, the character, in particular, like, the voice, even though I thought it was, like, just grating the second time around.
Absolutely. But,
I really do remember that. So, I also, the ABC Saturday morning cartoon lineup, like, I used to watch, Super Mario Brothers, okay. So I'm sure I saw episodes of this in there as well.
Since we're talking about the characters, do you want to give the folks a bit of a synopsis to let them know kind of what exactly this was about?
Yeah, so the main character, Kevin Keen, yeah. Is a Southern California teenager. His dog, Duke, who is horribly portrayed in the 6-second live action intro to this show.
Man, that's worth like a discussion
in
itself.
Sharpied on patch, yeah. Around the
that dog
eye.
Died of like, cancer. I hate to tell you, but that dog died of dog cancer. Yeah.
Oh, dog cancer?
Yeah, that's a very thing. Specific that's kind too, of. Yeah.
Too much.
Sorry.
But at any rate, goes through the ultimate warp. Yeah, that's the line in the sand. Goes through the ultimate warp to Video Land, which is basically an amalgamation of, like, you know, all the popular video games at the time. Right. You know, there was Metroid, Mega Man, Castlevania, or like the three first ones you get an intro to.
Kid Icarus in there too.
Right.
And then Metroid, definitely, because that's kind of like the villainous side of things, Metroid, which is where Mother Brain came from.
Oh, and then Donkey Kong.
Right.
What was it? Congo?
Yeah, Congo Land. That's where Sean is right now. Yeah.
Right. How is it?
There's
a lot of sectarian violence.
Jesus.
I will say, for as much as I love this show, there are some, I mean, like, Deke and the writers of this show, I feel like people sitting in the writer room, they were just like, okay, so, like, what are these donkey gorilla things? Like, where do they live?
Yeah, definitely lost in translation again.
I don't really know. And they're just like, let's just call it Conga Land. I don't give a shit. I want to go home. And, like, I can understand that because I would probably do the same thing.
No, we wouldn't, though, this day and age, though. We would, like, you know.
No, not at this day and age. Yeah. I mean, like, you have to appeal to fans. Like, I mean, like, this was maybe something that, like, Donkey Kong at that stage did not. Like, Donkey Kong Country hadn't come out.
Well, no, not even close, because N64 wasn't, like, a few years away, yeah.
Oh, no, that came out for Super Nintendo, Donkey Kong
Country. Super Nintendo. Okay.
And it was awesome.
Oh, I loved it. No, I played it. I thought it was 64. You're right. Super Nintendo.
And so it was one of those things where, like, you find out that there's no, like, there really isn't a Congo Land. Like, they made a lot of things up, like, specifically for this show.
Well, and we'll roll into these characters here in a second, too, because some of them are, like, they seem very obvious ripoffs of, like, other things in the Nintendo universe. So it's kind of weird. Like, I don't completely understand the full story that, like, Nintendo licensed these things to Deke Entertainment to produce this show, but then they can't say, you know, they can't say Captain Nintendo. They have to call it Captain N. They can say things like Mega Man and Castlevania and Kid Icarus, but they look very, very different from what you're used to from the video games. So there's a lot of weird stuff going on.
So Kid Icarus, we'll get into this when we talk about the characters.
Sure. I mean, we can get into them now. So you want to start with Kid?
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, Kid Icarus, like, you know, is, I mean, yes, Kid Icarus is correct. But I mean, like, the character's name is Pit.
Right.
Like, that's his actual name.
Right.
And so, like, they just, but I mean, at that point in time, like, I don't believe that the Kid Icarus game that kind of revealed that Pit was his name had really come out yet. So, like, who cares? I mean, like, for the period in time, like, to encapsulate this 89 to 91 period of time that this was available, they were accurate. They were accurate.
Yeah.
And, like, Kid Icarus did kind of look like that. Like,
he's probably the closest out of everybody here, except for the villains.
And so, correct. So we'll go in terms of, like, closest to just total bastardization. So,
before we get off of Icarus here, I never really played those games. So was there anything in, like, the text or the actual speak where he added Icarus to the end of everything that he said?
This was a bad character choice.
Holy Christ.
amazing because they dropped that in the third season so quick. They were just like, we're not doing
it. But it takes them all the way to the third season? It takes them 28 episodes to get there?
Yep.
Correct. So this kid, like I did Baron's intro in the beginning, is Maticus Baronicus, which if that irritated you, never watch this show. Because every time Kid Icarus talks, first of all, he's going through puberty, so his voice kind of cracks all the time, and that's kind of, it's funny, but it's irritating. He's also from, like, Brooklyn, so he's always kind of like, hey, he's got this weird accent to him. And then he adds Icus to everything. So he'll say, like...
Or Maximus.
Or Maximus, yeah, exactly. So that gets real, real irritating. So, yeah.
Gets real irritating.
That's my two cents on Icarus.
And I apologize. I should note that Kid Icarus, they do say pretty, like, first and foremost, that the character's name is Pitt.
Yeah,
And so, like, there's no doubt, like, that these people were just like, oh, we're just going to call it after the game. Like, I feel like if they could have called Simon Belmont Castlevania and gotten away with it, they'd be like, yeah, this character's now called Castlevania.
Well, that's a hell of a lead into the next character, so why don't we roll with him? Well, Matt, what was your favorite of these, if you have one, what was your favorite of the N team, as they call themselves?
Honestly, I really liked the Mega Man guy.
Oh, you liked him?
Even though he was green instead of blue, like... I don't know. It was just like in the first episode when he did that like really fast hands like shoe shine to
to Belmont,
and
yeah.
He like lights his foot on fire.
He's like, hey, how do you like that? That's shiny enough.
It's just like, yeah, it's hilarious. All right. Like, I mean, it really cracked me up for no reason at all.
We'll table.
It really wasn't that funny.
We'll table Simon Belmont for a second. Yeah. So Mega Man, yeah. He's green. He's green. I don't understand. Why he's green. There's a really funny explanation of this in Wikipedia that says basically the creators of the show, when they were designing Mega Man for Captain N, were watching playing the game on a like a maladjusted TV screen or computer screen or something.
Are you serious?
That's what Wikipedia says. So I don't know what their source is, but they say basically these guys
that
were playing
cannot
it.
Cannot possibly be true.
I mean, if you're watching it with like the green tint all the way up and the blue all the way down, he's going to look green.
I mean, if you look at any of the box art for any of the Mega Man games, like, albeit, like, some of the original ones are creepy. And some of the original ones, like, you know, like, I remember the first Mega Man game that I bought was Mega Man 2.
Yep.
And he doesn't even have, like, the arm cannon. Like, he's holding a pistol in his hand, shooting at somebody. And you're just like, wait, what the fuck? Like, it doesn't make any sense, like, whatsoever. But, I mean, like, his nickname... I mean, even at this point in time, like a Nintendo Power, like if this came out around like the Mega Man or Mega Man 2 era, his nickname was the Blue Bomber.
Yeah, you would think maybe they would have picked up on that.
He's
super green.
Nope.
So I don't know if that is a true story that like they got the design wrong and then just never changed it over 3 years,
That's
three
hilarious.
Seasons. Or if it was something to do with the rights, like if they could get away with still calling him Mega Man. But making him green and then giving him throat cancer, apparently, because this gravelly little shit.
Come on, guys.
Yeah, that's actually really good because it sounds just like it's the weirdest voice to come out of this little fella. Very, very strange.
Dave, that would be Dave. There's something wrong with my mega voice.
You're not going to be able to talk for the rest of the episode if you keep doing that. But yeah, he also has this weird conversational thing where he just adds mega to everything. Everything.
Mega pissed me off.
Yeah, mega me too. So, yeah. To move on to somehow a more irritating character, at least in my vision of things, let's talk about Simon Belmont. Might as well talk about him.
Oh, boy.
Wait, is it Simon Belmont or is it Sid Highwind? I'm not sure.
Exactly. It's Simon Belmont.
Oh, is it really from Castlevania? Okay.
Yeah.
Renowned vampire
Simon,
hunter.
Simon Belmont was in, I mean, for this, and I'll relate these to, like, the period of time, like, when this would have come out. Like,
right.
It was the original Castlevania and Castlevania II: Simon's Quest.
Yes,
those were the first two games that were in the franchise series. Those starred Simon Belmont.
Yeah. Now the Simon Belmont that again from like the box art or from the actual screenplay. Not that that really counts because it's all fairly pixelated still. This guy looks nothing like him. I don't know if you guys disagree or not, but he looks nothing like any of this.
Not even close.
No.
The original Simon Belmont in Castlevania was wearing kind of like an orange and brown tunic.
Yeah, right. Wasn't he also like red or brown hair?
Yeah, he was brown hair.
Okay.
Good, but it got changed. It was like black hair in Simon's Quest.
Oh, really?
Like okay. In the sequel. Like, but he also like he upgraded and like changed his clothes. He went from like being sort of like this like person in a tunic to like more like a knight.
Right.
He was wearing, like, armor and stuff like that, like in Simon's Quest.
Yeah, so never a blonde, kind of bulbous-chinned, goggle-wearing, jumpsuit kind of aviator-looking fella?
I mean, not really.
It was, it looked like Launchpad McQuack.
Like a more human version, yeah, of Launchpad McQuack. Like,
put a human face on Launchpad McQuack, and that's your guy.
That's your guy.
I'm going to jump back really quick because I had to double check what the box art was for Simon's Quest. And he's got like a blonde mullet. He's got like crazy mullet. But I mean, like in no way, shape, or form does it turn into like this pompadour that this version of Simon Belmont has on top of his head. It's just, it's so weird. So dreamy.
They're just dreamy.
So dreamy.
And that's the thing. This guy's, his appearance definitely fits his personality because he is incredibly full of himself to the point of that being like his major flaw. Like he is so overconfident in his abilities and his skills that he always ends up just kind of falling flat on his face. And that's funny. You kind of need that.
Much narcissism.
But holy God, it is excessive. It is excessive. He has his little heroic moments. He helps to save the day a couple times. He's got a sweet whip. That whip is pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You're kind of like, meh. Yeah. I guess.
No, it's good. I mean, like, you know, it's interesting. Just like what they did with like these three characters specifically, because the rest of the end team is sort of like this, like it's this Kevin Keen character,
right?
You know. Kind of adapted from this Captain Nintendo in Nintendo Power and then completely changed to just be Captain N, who's just like, who's this like kind of, you know, hip, like, I think they mentioned at one point about something about driving in the show. And he's like, I don't even have my driver's license.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like you want to think that he's maybe like 15, 16 years old.
Yeah. He's definitely in high school, but younger in high school. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe like freshman, sophomore, like he's wearing like a Letterman's jacket.
Yeah. He's got a varsity letter. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got like a varsity letter jacket, and I love the fact that like when he gets like
but it had an N on it. You know,
I know. I was just like, I feel like
it's
what
a big red N.
What was he doing? Like, just here's the thing: watching this show when I was a kid, I wanted to be Kevin Keen.
Well, when you played the games, you wore your Letterman's jacket, and your dog was just hanging out in the room, right?
Yes, 100%.
That's how everybody did it.
So. I mean, who doesn't want the idea of, for all the flaws that are in this show and all the annoying character choices and terrible, like, vocal cadence that's in here, like, there are just, like, moments where you're just like, I can relate because that's what I wanted.
No, like, 100%. Like, I totally get that.
In the late 80s, early 90s, like, I wanted to get sucked into a video game
and just be awesome. If you could just play video games all day, and then this hot-ass princess drags you into her world, says, I need your skills to help me save my world. Oh, and guess what? Every test that you encounter is going to be related to a video game you played. Plus, you get a zapper gun. Plus, you get a sweet control pad belt that gives you extra powers. So, I mean, that's a pretty good deal.
I took some notes about the zapper gun that I wanted to
tell me about it, because we talked about it last time, because it wasn't the blaze orange. Yeah.
All right. So one of the things that was really interesting, like we, with a bunch of the episodes that we watched, all right, there was one where Kevin, Captain N, pairs up, he goes to Hyrule.
Yes.
And he pairs up with Zelda and with Link of The Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, they start to fold more of these characters in over, mostly in the second season. Yeah.
All right. And so they, like, as the story unfolds, there's, like, this one moment where, like, Kevin shoots his blaster and, something fortuitous happens and, like, it gets rid of the enemy. And Link just goes, where did you learn that? And Captain N just looks at him and just goes, he just shrugs his shoulder and he just goes, high school gym class? I was like... Wait, you learned how to shoot a gun in high school gym class? Like,
yeah. Well, this was Southern California high school.
Yeah,
gym
but
class.
It wasn't like, it wasn't.
Oh no!
Modern era. I think he meant it to be like a joke, but man, it was
poorly translated
into modern times.
Oof.
Oof. Well, getting off of that, Matt, do you want to tell us your opinions of Princess Lana, or would you like to move on to the villains of this series?
You know, the Princess Lana thing, I mean, yeah.
There you go. That's all I need to know. Works for Matt.
Yeah, good.
I mean, there's not much to say. She's kind of just...
Dave, you were very correct, because she was definitely Rule 34.
Yeah, she's been Rule 34.
Oh,
I mean, we've talked about it before, but it's... Yeah, it's out there. It's out there, folks. Every show we've talked about so far, from even Turbo Teen, which still blows my mind, everything's been Rule 34, so... That's awkward for everyone.
Wait, even Cops?
I got to imagine. I mean, Cops was only like a breath away from being inappropriate for kids anyway.
Cops.
I didn't even look that one
like
up.
It would be a heavy, like, hot breath away from being inappropriate.
Yeah.
Like, one of these breaths.
Oh, God, this podcast is a heavy, hot breath away from becoming inappropriate. So, we got Princess Lana. She's been Rule 34'd. We already talked about Duke here. Let's move on to the villains, because they're probably, for whatever reason, these villains, to my knowledge, are a little bit closer to their video game counterparts. Is that right?
So out of this main group of villains, Dave, did you happen to have a favorite?
Vegetable Wizard.
Yeah, definitely Eggplant. Eggplant Wizard, not only because of his name, but because he craps vegetables. I love it. If he falls down, if he tries to run, if he gets punched, he just craps fully formed vegetables everywhere. And it's amazing. This guy's like a walking buffet.
Onions, tomatoes,
mushrooms, cucumbers, everything.
Green peppers.
Yeah.
Everything.
Like, it's amazing.
And then half the time, like, they have, like, there's one episode where they have a party, and there's some really creepy stuff out there, too. There's one where Eggplant Wizard has his arms around, like, two tangerines that are just, like, big oranges with a smiley face, and then, like, human legs that are doing, like, the can-can dance. Really bizarre. But then they cut to, like, King Hippo, who's eating the vegetables that Eggplant Wizard just crapped out. It's a very strange thing they decided to do here, but I loved it.
But, man, you good segue into King Hippo.
Yeah.
Of Mike Tyson's Punch-Out fame.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, here's the thing. Like, I don't know. I mean, like, is King Hippo, like, would he have been, like, the most, like, notable character from Punch-Out?
I mean, I don't know. He's really, pretty early on, isn't he?
He was, like, the fifth. He in, like, yeah, the second.
There's, like, Glass
in the second,
Joe.
In the, he was the first guy.
Yeah, and then King Hippo's not too far down the line. I don't think.
He's, like, maybe, like, the fifth. I think he's the fifth fighter.
But, yeah, I don't know why they chose him. I mean, maybe because he's big, dumb. He's easy to draw. He's got creepy, large, dark nipples, which was very disturbing to me.
Well, it's just weird that, like, he's got, like, in this, I mean, like, a King Hippo in the video game is, like, a regular human flesh tone. Yeah. And this, he's, like, weirdly jaundiced.
I don't know what happened there.
King Hippo, you look real unhealthy, man. Yes,
he's not going to last long.
Yeah. I mean, like, they could have just put Mike Tyson. I mean, like,
yeah, he turned into a villain anyway. So
yeah, but like
fun.
The Simpsons Mike Tyson, you know?
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Any of that would have been fine. So. And then they do feature Dr. Wily in a few episodes. He just kind of pops in. He makes like weird things like a robo cat, and then he pops back out. So he doesn't, at least from the ones I watch, he doesn't do a whole lot. King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard are basically the main henchmen for Mother Brain.
Mother Brain!
Oh, boy. One of the creepiest things you'll see in a cartoon on the regular.
You know, it was the rear view of Mother Brain that was the creepiest.
It was much worse.
Like,
yeah.
The optic nerve going into the back of her no musculature face.
Right, exactly. It was so creepy. Like, so she's like this, it's a brain with like, how would you describe her face? Because first of all, it's made up. She's got like eyeshadow and lipstick on.
Yeah, that's I want to know how that gets done. I want to know how that
I imagine
done.
Eggplant Wizard does that every morning for her. It takes her out of the vat and then puts her back in. Yeah.
In some sort of like weird Event Horizon face stretching sort of hellscape.
Or she's like, for fans who are fans of Doctor Who, it's kind of like a face of Beau kind of thing. A little bit of that going on. But with a brain attached to it and way more like villainous and creepy. Oh, and if you're a fan of Little Shop of Horrors, same voice as the plant, Audrey 2. Audrey 2, Mother Brain, the voice of the Four Tops lead, Levi Stubbs. So if you can picture that in your head somehow, first of all, that's a terrifying place to be. But that's what we got. That's what we got with Captain N.
Feed me, Seymour.
So strange. It was so strange. I'm surprised Rick Moranis never actually popped up on this show, because he would have, like, fit right in.
Well, I mean, he might as well have, because, I mean, there are some later episodes that are in this series where they're just like, let's just see how many other things that we can throw in here that are not even related to video games, or, like, very loosely related to video games.
Yeah, and like, speaking of that, I think that's a great way to segue into at least the first episode that we all watched, which was the pilot. Now, we're at about the halfway mark. We're at about a half hour. So do you guys have anything else you wanted to mention on the characters or just the overall show before we start talking about the episode itself?
No, these characters are fantastic.
Yeah, characters are nuts. We can definitely start with the... I want to start, as long as Matt doesn't have anything else to add.
Nope.
Let's start with this intro then. Because it's another one that kind of, like, explains everything you need to know going into the show. But there is some weird stuff that goes on between animation, live action, a brief, terrifying moment of early, early, early computer animation, and then it's all smashed in together in about a minute. So, I don't know, where do you even want to start with this? I guess we start with, like, the sort of the character roll call as they go through, this narrator walks us through video land, right? And he introduces us to these characters. So that's how we got to know him.
He introduces us really to kind of like the specific areas that are in video land.
Right.
And then like the respective character from that space kind of like pops
wakes up or moves or skates around.
And
mega
welcomes you.
Mega welcome. Well, Icarus is like sleeping on a cloud. And they're like, wake up, kid Icarus. And he's like... So there's that.
Yeah.
There's a couple different versions, actually.
Fires an arrow.
And fires an arrow at the narrator. Yeah, there's a couple different versions, because in the first one, the narrator is kind of saying, I think it's the narrator, who's saying that, like, Mother Brain is attacking the Palace of Power, and the war is raging on, and he says, like, destiny has foretold of this hero from the, what is the name of the warp zone? The Ultimate Warp, right?
Ultimate Warp Zone.
Yeah, so there's a hero traveling through the Ultimate Warp Zone that'll save the day or whatever. In the later episodes, I think in the second season moving on, it's actually Princess Lana who tells this story. And it's a different intro, too. We'll have both of them up on the site. But it's a shift in the way that they kind of like introduce the show and introduce the characters. They get away from the narrator and they focus it more on like Princess Lana bringing this kid in. Now, they all circle up in the Palace of Power... around Princess Lana, and this power glove shows up. Did they ever talk about that again? Because he doesn't get to use what I know.
No, not really.
No. So this is a power glove, which was a Nintendo thing.
I also find it interesting that one of the crappiest add-ons for the Nintendo system happens to be the center of all knowledge and wisdom in this world. Like, no wonder the war was going so poorly.
If at any point, a Super Scope 6 had just appeared, I would have been like, ah, oh, they're fucked.
Virtual Boy...
Like, oh, thank God, some military help.
Oh, my God, Virtual Boy.
Or if Virtual Boy showed up and like, I'm here to save the day. I'd be like, get the fuck out, Virtual Boy, you're going to give us all seizures.
I mean, that's basically what happened at the beginning.
But what if it had been like, you know,
two?
What if it had been like the power pad or something like that?
I love the power pad. We used to play an Olympics game on that. We used to play Olympics and American Gladiators. Used to play the power pad. Never worked. You're talking about the one on the floor, right? That you stomped on?
Yeah.
Because he has, okay, so we're at the Ultimate Warp. They're trying to bring this savior of the video land in. It's Kevin. It's Kevin Keane. He's this goofy high school kid in his Letterman's jacket, playing Super Punch-Out, which I loved because they actually played like the theme music and stuff too, and you can watch him like dodging and punching King Hippo. So he's just sitting there in his room, in his bedroom, in the dark, with his dog and his jacket, playing the game. And then this crazy, like, kind of like Ghostbusters-style lightning comes out of the TV.
I thought it was more like Poltergeist-style.
Yeah, some kind of like 80s movie Highlander-style lightning comes out.
Yeah.
So
the quickening comes out of the TV.
Yeah, he gets the quickening. Then, for some strange reason, you guys caught this, I hope. I hope I wasn't hallucinating.
God. I remember watching this in, like, when I saw this on television and being like, what the shit is
that? And it's never explained. It's never referenced.
The green dude coming out of the TV.
This green androgynous humanoid kind of polygonal shaped thing, just like, and
like
it's
real early computer
and it is
animation.
Horrific. It is horrific.
So I was reading something where somebody mentioned that, like, is that Kevin going through the
that's
like, into the warp zone?
Oh my god, that's even more terrifying.
Like, Is that him like before he gets rendered like?
Oh, that's him de-rezzing.
Yeah.
That is horrible. Oh
yeah,
my gosh.
Like some people were...
I would rather have a green 3D CG monster come and drag me into Video Land than be turned into that thing. We need to get a screen cap of that,
like,
and put it up because it's.
Or if it was something where like it was the green polygon person. Like, what if that was like. Kevin gets sucked in, and that's like him trying to get back home. He's like, no!
He's just trying to crawl back out of the portal.
Yeah, there's like it's got like a weird like sound that comes with
it. It does.
It's not quite like a Wilhelm scream, but it's like something that's like equally just as disturbing.
It's a creepy kind of moan, kind of, yeah. And then, okay, to that point, the dog sees Kevin go in, whether he becomes a green humanoid freak or not, I don't know. But the dog just jumps straight into the TV, no problem. He doesn't derez, he doesn't devolve into anything. So I'm going to guess that that green thing came out and pulled Kevin in. So I don't know. Super creepy.
So did you also notice how the room was decorated?
I tried to catch snippets of it, but I missed the details.
It was like the cafe from like Saved by the Bell crossed over with like, you know, any terrible 80s music video you've ever seen.
Oh, man. Was there a lot of Wham? Did he have a lot of Wham posters?
Wake me up.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I got to take a look at that now. I'm really curious. I don't want to see that green thing again, though.
It's got, like, checkered flag curtains on, like, like, ridiculously pastel green wall with, like, weird pink swoops going through it.
Man,
it's, like...
80s, man.
It's real bad. It's real, real bad.
And then I think you hear... Okay, just to complete this live-action version of the intro, which is only about 6 seconds long, I think you hear his mom. Do you hear his mom at this point?
Yeah, you do. She's okay. Like, Kevin?
Kevin?
I need you to clean your room.
And that's about it.
And, like, that's about it.
Yeah. Until later on. But, yeah, so that's the intro, and that plays at more or less the beginning of every episode. So it tells you kind of what you need to know. And then Kevin just kind of like pops into Video Land and starts taking care of business. So let's get into that.
It scares the crap out of you from the beginning.
Yeah, I thought it was like a horror.
I'm already
thing.
Here.
Yeah. So he gets brought into like the palace, basically. So he's surrounded by the rest of the end team. Now, like last week we talked about Mighty Max. You guys hated it. That's cool. But Sean, you specifically mentioned that like, he was super gung-ho about this, but didn't stop to really, like, ask any questions or even take into account what the hell was going on. Kevin, slightly different from that. He's still fairly gung-ho because there's a hot princess asking him for help. So he's kind of like, well, okay, I'm a high school dude, so yeah, whatever you want. But he's also kind of like, not really sure what's happening here, so maybe we should take a break. Should we pause here?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he at least has a little bit of, like, common sense for a few seconds. Asking, like, what the hell is going on? But then he's like, oh, shit, I got a blaster. I got this crazy belt that lets me, like, jump around and pause time and do all kinds of cool stuff. So he's sold at that point. Yeah. And who wouldn't be?
I mean, who wouldn't be?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, that just seems like so much fun.
That's just a dream, man. How about you, Matt? Would you love to be just dropped into Video Land? Take care of stuff? Yeah.
Well.
No, not so much.
I mean, no, here's the thing.
Yeah.
So. I thought, like, the way they entered it in where he's, like, you know, lukewarm about the whole thing.
Right.
He's like, you know what? I don't really care what's going on here. Not really my problem. Need to kind of get back to the human space.
Right.
So, I mean, at least they kind of set it up where it wasn't just like, yeah, you know what? I'll come in here, like, start blasting stuff left and right. I'll fix your problems, whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I really kind of identified with, like, the progression there just because it wasn't, like, that complete suspension of belief where – it's like, oh, yeah, I've been waiting to been, you know, be sucked into a video game
it's
my
like,
entire
finally,
life.
Finally,
like,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in that way, I was like, okay, I get this.
Yeah.
Like, at least they took 2 minutes to set this whole thing up.
Dude, and I got to wonder, too, like, a kid today, like, a kid born in, like, I don't know, 2006, 2009, which is weird for me to even think about, like, would have no clue what the hell was going on in this show because of all the things they referenced that were in the Nintendo universe at the time, even if they're not, like, you know, complete
matches.
Yeah, but,
I mean, if you think about, like, dropping, like, you know, take same time frame, so, like, a kid born in 98,
right.
God, that's disgusting, gets dropped into, like, a 16-year-old kid gets dropped into 2014, you know, think about like the Nintendo games now. He's like, wow, we're going to have to bowl our way out of this one. Or like, you know.
He's like, why am I this weird bobblehead character now? I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you guys have nothing to do except kart racing? Come on.
Come on, guys. Yeah, like, or Mario everywhere. Party. Just like, pick up after yourself, Smash
okay.
Brothers.
Now let's take like maybe... Let's take, like, Xbox games, you know. Drop a 16-year-old kid into Modern Warfare 3 and just watch the PTSD get started.
That's the thing. Like, I'd be terrified to jump into a modern video game now because, like, exactly. Everything looks so real and I'm super dead in 10 seconds.
Or Dune.
Any of that stuff.
You know. Yeah, I mean, drop a kid into, like, you know, the original PC version of Doom, that would have been great. Okay, like,
yeah, just God mode it up
in front of me with a shotgun.
Yeah, I've got no head, you know? No face, but exactly. I do have God mode, so I'm set. That's fine.
Exactly. And the endless ammo code, which was, was that IDDQD?
That sounds weirdly familiar, so I'm going to say yes. I don't know.
I think God mode was IDDQD. Jesus. Anyway, but like,
unless you drop me into like Titanfall right now, like I would not feel safe. Unless I'm roaming around in a giant walking tank, I would crap my pants. But if it was mid 80s,
the difference between like 80s Nintendo and current day video games, it's like I'd be way more comfortable with like 80s Nintendo.
Yeah, the classic kind of like classic side scrolling games or the arcade type games, fine. I'm fine with all that. This hyper realistic stuff of today, hell no. I want no part of it. No,
I'll just take Contra.
Yeah, I'll stay. Even Contra is like pushing it.
As you say, Dave, it just would have been like you waking up and you're like, wait, where am I? And I'm like, oh, you're in Silent Hill. No!
No, I'd be okay with Silent Hill because that was one of my favorites, which is weird. Okay. Weird that I'm okay with that.
That's deeply disturbing.
It is. Very. I feel like I'd be happier in the Hell Dimension anyway. I'd probably be the new Pyramid Head. Just walk around with that giant cleaver.
Well, you certainly got the physique for it, you lanky bastard.
Thanks, buddy. Unfortunately, no Pyramid Head in Captain N. That never showed up, even though it was a Konami. That was Konami, wasn't it? Silent Hill?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, a bunch of other people pop up, though. So we already talked about
Captain
N.
I do like
N
how they mention Final Fantasy.
They do. It's not related, really.
That was in the finale.
Yeah, but how much of that was actually related to Final Fantasy and how much? Because it was only 10 minutes long.
I think almost none of it.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. I think them referencing like Final Fantasy is like, you're like, hey, why don't you come over for pizza? And then you get here, and then I just have like a cinder block on a plate, and you're like, what the fuck is this? You're like, oh, it's pizza. And you're like, oh, great, I love pizza. And you just eat the cinder block and shut up.
That's exactly what happened. You could at least put out some Tostino's pizza rolls for me.
No, dick. They're cinder blocks.
Never go to pizza really at Sean's house. He's the worst.
Because you're going to eat cinder blocks. Yeah. It's really like...
I will say this, because they do reference other video games. But like Sean said, it's kind of this bait and switch. Because they do say, like, okay, at one point, they're traveling through these warp tunnels. Kevin's got these warp tunnels, like, mapped out in his head. He knows everything. He somehow knows how to warp from, like, one game to the next, even though that doesn't exist.
Which is amazing. That's not a real thing.
You have to turn the game off, pop the cartridge out, blow in the new one, and pop it back in.
Wait, hold on. Are we doubting the fact that this kid understands how to warp between different areas within Video Land? And we're not doubting the fact that this kid got sucked into a television into Video Land?
No, that creepy green puppet thing dragged him in.
Did you see him pointing at the map in the first episode? He was pointing to blank spaces.
Well, hold on. Here's a great glitch in this show, too. So this is completely off the point. But Matt, when you said blank spaces, it reminded me of this. There's a glitch in this early seasons. I think they fixed it later on when they, I don't know if it's on DVD or not, but they had some animation cells that were just the foreground, like just the character, and the background was completely like beiged out. That's all it was. So at one point, like they're in this like swamp in the second episode, they're in the bayou, and Kevin is like, he's surrounded by like swamp trees and boggy marshes.
There's like an alligator.
There's an alligator that just pops up looking like it's like in a paper bag or something, because like there's nothing behind it but beige. And eventually they like draw it back in. So like the production quality of this stuff was not great. Not great. But that's just an aside. So, warp tunnels. Who wants to tell us a little bit about the warp tunnels and how Kevin and Simon first kind of like butt heads here? Because I think that was a good point.
Well, I mean, because he does this later on with Link.
With Link,
he seems to do this with
it. Yeah, but he's real dumb. He doesn't realize he's doing it. I don't think.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, like, what they do is, like, they argue over how to get to certain places using these warp zones. And they're just like, oh, I know how to do that. And like, oh, I know a better way. And so it just becomes this game of macho thing.
And it's mostly just to get in the favor of Princess Lana, too. Or Princess Zelda, depending on who's around. Because Kevin apparently doesn't care.
You know, it just becomes one of those things where, like, they try to outdo each other. And it just becomes, like, this dick-measuring contest about who knows where the warp zone is.
Yep.
And so it doesn't, like, none of it matters. And, like, it takes, like... Whatever they set up in this show, if you think that there's going to be a payoff, there's not going to be a payoff. If you think in any way, shape, or form that like there's going to be a lasting impression where that character is going to learn a lesson, you are mistaken. Nope. That will never happen in this show.
They just hop from one thing to the next.
For all the problems that are in this, though, I mean, it's still a fun show to watch.
Yeah, it was fun. You never know where they're going to end up next. So they take these warps. They're supposed to go to, like, Metroid to defeat Mother Brain. They end up, because they follow Simon, they end up in Kongoland. So that's our first introduction to Donkey Kong, which is not what I was expecting whatsoever.
Nope.
At this point.
Here's the thing. There are a lot of scenes in this show. I think episode 5 had this as well.
I didn't see that one.
Episode 1, as we're mentioning, like, where there's a warp zone, and the warp zone warps you into, like, a boiling pot of water where somebody else is preparing food. It happens to Simon Belmont in episode 5, and you're just kind of like, what is this?
Maybe someone should move that warp zone.
What is the idea that, like, people are just like, oh, yeah, let's put a warp zone in the bottom of a cast iron, like, kettle.
Or the top of, like, a volcano, you know, an active volcano.
Some of these things.
It's just fun, though. Like, they do dip into other games. Like, I think in the second one, Mother Brain is, like, studying Kevin's... somehow she was able to study him and his game-playing abilities before he ever showed up.
So weird. So here's the thing that blows my mind, is that, like, in all of these instances where Mother Brain is doing something, and this is multiple episodes, she just kind of has, like, this, like, video window where she can see anything. She's, like... omnipotent in terms of what's happening
in any world,
anywhere in video land. Like, she just pulls up this screen and she's like, oh, I know exactly where I am right now, and she just, like, has it figured out and is able to strategize. I'm just like, that is like, you should be a better villain.
Well, here's the thing. I think Mother Brain is a decent villain. She's just the fact that she has no corporeal body is really a disadvantage for her, because she's got these idiots that are basically her henchmen that are just terrible. They crap vegetables. That's like their only power.
Are you telling me that she is not as good of a villain because she has a disability?
That's not what I'm saying, but it is what I'm saying. She could be a lot better. She even had the strategy of, like, watching this kid play games before he ever showed up. So she, like, went back to archival footage somehow and watched him play games.
She just watched episode 1.
Yeah, she watched episode 1. It's like, oh, he's playing to, like, pinpoint his weaknesses from him playing games. What was his weakness? He could master all these other games, right? He can beat Zelda. He can beat Metroid. He can beat everything. He can't beat one of the oldest games, which I forget what Adventures of Bayou Billy, which is basically just Pitfall, because he could not jump over... Wait, was that an actual game, or were they just ripping off Pitfall?
Yeah, it was a real game.
No, was it a ripoff of Pitfall, though? Because it kind of looked like it.
No, it actually was not really like Pitfall in any way, shape, or form.
Really?
It was more like Double Dragon. Yeah.
What? Double Dragon?
It blew my mind when they showed the... like the footage of
the game itself, like where he's jumping over like alligators.
I was like, what game is this? Like, The Adventures of Bayou Billy, the video game, is...
Oh, I think you rezzed out for a second.
So The Adventures of Bayou Billy was this just kind of like side-scrolling, like beat 'em up game. It was very similar to Double Dragon. It was just, I think that there was like, there may have been something where there was like a shooting portion of it as well. And it just, I had no idea when they depicted it as being like a Pitfall-esque.
Yeah, that's why I was so confused. I just thought it was Pitfall.
Like, what the shit is this?
And that was my favorite part, was that was his weakness, though, was jumping over things. Yeah. His weakness is jumping over things.
And yet, in the first episode, he had no problem jumping.
Zero problems.
Like, you know, 60 feet in the air.
I think it's funny that they were just, I think, like, to show how good of a researcher, or how well the research that Mother Brain performed, she with if they were ripping off Pitfall, she's looking at the wrong system that he's playing.
Exactly.
Right? Just like completely wrong game. Like, I don't think they adapted Pitfall for Nintendo until like a little bit later, but I mean, it was crazy. It was very funny. But I mean, there was Bayou Billy. Like, they brought Bayou Billy. Like, here's the thing that's fun too. Yeah. That they got so lazy with the names. They were just like, what are we going to call them? Bayou Land. Perfect.
Bayou Land.
Like,
yeah.
Get it into the script. Do it. But like, you know, like Matt said, like they bring in Final Fantasy later
kind
on.
Kind of, yeah.
They bring in Tetris.
I missed that one, but I read about it. Yeah.
Yeah, they bring in Tetris a little bit later on. Like, and there are a lot of elements of those games. It's not like they go to like Tetris World or something like that. It's like certain, like, you might see things that you're just like, that looks like a Tetris block. I wonder if that's a Tetris block.
It's definitely a Tetris block.
It's definitely a Tetris block.
Matt, did you watch any other episodes that weren't the pilot or the Bayou one that we mentioned, or that Final Fantasy one? Just because we're getting a little short on time, I just want to see if there's any other interesting ones out there to point the listeners to.
No, you know, I really only watch those ones.
No, Sean, I think you watch a couple other interesting ones. Anything you want to like definitely suggest for the viewers to check out?
There's a two-parter that is I really liked episode 3.
Okay.
Episode 3, Dr. Wily creates like a Frankenstein that's like their own Captain N.
Oh, okay.
And it's based off of Kevin's
his high school bully.
Later becomes a bully.
Right, right.
And so that episode actually was pretty fun. Huh. I enjoyed that a lot. And so episode 4 and 5 is a two-parter that takes place in Mount Icarus. And so that was relatively fun to kind of see all this stuff. But I mean, like, again, it was just a lot of hijinks, and it really could have easily been something that was one episode instead of splitting it up into two.
Gotcha.
So, there was one game that I did not watch these episodes, but as I was reading through like the episode guide, they were just like, they made like allusions to this show, was Faxanadu.
I read that and I have no idea what that is.
Did anybody ever play Faxanadu?
I've never even heard of it except for reading it from the show.
I played so much Faxanadu. What the hell was it? When I was a kid. It was like a side-scrolling like NES like action adventure game, and it was like you would go and try to like battle these monsters, and then you'd go into town and like you buy supplies and like you upgrade stuff, and like I just remember it being insanely tough. I was super bad at the game.
I really want to play it now.
Thing where like you had to like get these it was like a pickaxe that you needed to like beat like to chip away at some of these like rocks that would always be in your way.
So Minecraft.
It was like the Yeah, a little bit. It had some Minecraft elements to it, but they called it they didn't call it like a pickaxe, they called it a Mattox.
Oh,
and
okay.
So like I just remember, I mean, I know what a Mattox is now.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was one of those things where like it was very funny, like I actually had to like get out the dictionary and I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, there was no internet at this point,
just
remember.
Pickaxe.
Yeah.
What
say pickaxe like, and crazy Japanese.
Yeah. So I mean, there was just a lot of like fun stuff that like they hint to in this. And I think the one thing is that if you're going to watch one episode, I think the one episode that I would recommend watching, just because it is crazy. And we should preface this that like Princess Lana is still the princess because the king of video games.
Yeah, we never mentioned him at all.
Is not dead.
Nope.
He is alive, but he's like lost in like a mirror world.
Yep, he's in
like
mirror
Mother
world.
Mother Brain like pushed him into some warp zone, and he's stuck in this mirror world, and it evidently only opens up like once every 1,000 years.
Well, and we have to mention this too. The king, they do eventually happen upon him. They can't quite rescue him, but he does send aid.
So that's what I'm
certain
getting
form.
So season 2, episode 1.
Hold on to your butts, kids.
Is an episode to watch, because instead of the king coming back, he sends Game Boy.
There it is.
And if you're just like, that makes no sense whatsoever, Sean.
You are correct.
Why would you send in and out of an object? Oh no, it's a sentient. It is a sentient talking Game
like
Boy,
6 foot tall.
That is just like
creepy, bendy
hey
Game
guys,
Boy.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Voiced by our good buddy
is Frank Welker.
That's correct. That is correct.
So
he's
funny.
Got a lot of weird, like digital, kind of like beep boop bops in there, but then his actual like voice is definitely Frank Welker. really bizarre.
It's a lot of times it's like he gets in these situations where he's like engage defense mode.
Yeah.
Beep, boop, 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 boop. And you're just like, shut up.
Shut up. Or he'll just fly around, yeah. Or he'll like scan the area for data. Or he'll form.
Sometimes like they can ride on the back of him.
Yeah, he's like a flying carpet.
Like, he's like a surfboard.
He's a surfboard, flying carpet, whatever you want.
So he's silver surfboard.
But he's also got this weird thing, because you would think like, okay, you got a 6 foot tall Game Boy who can talk and be real annoying and like tell you stuff. What's he gonna do in battle? Oh, I'll tell you what he's gonna do. He's gonna take his screen, his LED screen, or LCD, I guess at the time, LCD screen,
yeah.
And form it into things like melee weapons, like a baseball bat.
Like a baseball
bat? Like a green baseball bat, yeah. So bizarre. So I think it's safe to say that Sean recommends this one. Is that true? Am I putting words in your mouth?
You are not. That all
right.
is correct.
Take that words yourself. Right out your mouth. How about you, Matt? Would you recommend this one?
You know, this one's in the middle of the list for
okay,
me.
Okay, fair. That's fair.
If you've got nothing better to do, go ahead and check this out.
Matt is usually on the negative side of these things. He's rarely like rip-roaring, ready to go, with the exception of, I think, Reboot and Pirates of Darkwater. That's about it. As for me, I'm going to have to side with Matt on this one, too. It's fun. It's definitely nice to, like, revisit the nostalgia. For me, it was something that I hadn't watched as a kid, so it was kind of cool to approach it in a fresh perspective because I had no idea what I was getting into. I probably would have watched a few more episodes here and there. I watched the first one, the Bayou one with Zelda and Link because I was interested in seeing how they portrayed them since they also had their own series around this time, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, on a future episode. Yeah, definitely check it out. If you're a kid of the 80s and you remember playing these games, watch it. If not, you probably won't know what the hell's going on or understand why this was ever made. So,
I want to throw in an additional point and say that if you are watching this and you're like, this show is fun and I'm glad that Sean made this recommendation.
Yeah.
Because Sean is great. And so check out the comic books. The comic books are a little bit different. Like they add in... they drop Mega Man,
right.
And they kind of drop, and they, I believe they drop Simon Belmont as well.
Yeah, which I'm the third season kind of does right too, yeah, of the show itself.
And so they drop them in the third season because they did not want to pay Konami and Capcom anymore for using the likeness of two of their characters. But
that classic Nintendo,
classic Nintendo. So they continue over, and they throw in Samus Aran.
Only in the comics.
Instead of these other characters. Yeah, just only in the comics. And there's another villain that they have that's in the comics as well. And I think it's like, it's sort of like a Greek character. It's called like Uranus.
Is he from Icarus?
I believe so.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he may have just been like a character that they created, but he's like a giant. He's like a giant, tall, kind of like muscular, like demigod looking guy.
Oh, okay.
And so they adapt him and they throw him in there too, but the comic is a little bit grittier.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
there's a lot of sexual tension between Kevin and Samus, and it is palpable.
Which is weird cuz she's like mid-20s, maybe early 30s kind of like military pilot and he's like a 14-year-old kid.
She's like a hardcore bounty hunter.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like,
not military pirate. I mean, like, you know, she's like.
Oh no! I just meant pilot. I mean, like, yeah. Did I say pilot instead? Anyway, but yeah, the point is like the age difference is a little weird, but all good. It's all good.
Yeah,
get your comics on. So yeah, we'll have some images and stuff up of that, and if we can, you know, links to where you guys can buy these comics or maybe check out the series. We got to check into that a little bit. But safe to say, I think that's a fairly lukewarm to positive reception for this one. So go check it out. Anything else? Any final thoughts, you guys, on this one? No?
No.
If not, we're going to move on to plugs. So, Matt, I'm gonna let you do your plugs first because I know you're not going to be here for the next couple of weeks. So don't worry, he's not going anywhere. He's coming back. He's just a little busy over the next couple of weeks. So, let the people know where they can find you and what's going on with you while you're gone.
So I am on the Twitter at MattSF07.
Still, man? Still?
Did we change his name yet?
Jesus.
I can't do it, you know? I'm hanging on to that shred of dignity and self-respect.
Oh,
and,
why bother?
You know? I'm just going to ride that train into the sunset.
All right. But, sunset train Baron.
Yeah, I will be out for the next 2 weeks because I will be getting married in Hawaii.
Yeah, look at that. So that is that is a good excuse. So, do you have your stories coming out still, or are they coming out?
You know, honestly, I've just been so busy.
Oh, fair enough.
Just,
all right.
Yeah, I cannot get to post.
No, that's fine. I just didn't want to tell the viewers to look for it and then not have it. So, all good.
Yeah, don't bother looking for it.
don't even bother. Just wait till he comes back. We'll have coverage over the next couple of weeks. We still have our shows to put out. We're not quite sure what we're going to do yet, but we should probably have a guest star or two, and we will still be talking about some crazy shows. Speaking of crazy shows, Sean, do you have any more improv events coming up?
No, we wrapped up on, and so we're taking a break for a little while, so I don't really have anything that I'm working on.
Well, that's cool. You guys have been going strong for a few months now. I mean, since we've been doing this podcast, you guys have had something pretty much every week, so that's good. Take a well-deserved break. Yeah. I got nothing. You can find me on Twitter at DrClawMD, and Sean, where can we find you on social media?
Find me on Instagram and Twitter at Sean Paul Ellis.
And if you want to know more about the show, you can check us out over at SaturdayMorningCartoons.com. Remember, that's morning with a U. You can also check us out on Twitter at MorningTunes. And then Sean's doing a really good job on our Tumblr page, keeping it G-rated. That's at SaturdayMorningCartoons.tumblr.com. And if you want to send us an email, either send us some fan art, some fanfic, some recordings of your best Dino Saucers theme song, your favorite Frank Welker performs whatever you want. We're a friendly group. You can email us at SaturdayMorningCartoons@gmail.com. That's pretty much all you need to know. We will be returning next week. Just also as a quick update, we are working on the Apple iTunes podcast subscription availability. So that should be coming within the next couple of weeks. So fingers crossed, and we'll let you know when that is live and available. Until then, thank you for listening. This has been Saturday Morning Cartoons.